letting us know that Jesus will. For some of us, it's just a reminder. We already knew that. Amen. That Jesus will. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn to the Gospel of St. Luke. Chapter 19. Beginning at verse number 29. St. Luke chapter 19. Beginning at verse number 29. And it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereupon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. Yes. Yeah. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosening the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. Yeah. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the coat, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. Again, looking at verse number 30, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in which ye at your entering ye shall find a coat tied, whereupon yet never man set. Loose him and bring him hither. I want to talk today from the thought, go and get it. Amen. Go and get it. Amen. Go and get it. Amen. 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 I can remember growing up when the church was a respected place. Amen. It was a place where you didn't just show up looking any kind of way. People back then, they didn't have a whole lot. Maybe one or two items that you could wear to church. As a matter of fact, you had what you call your Sunday clothes. You had your Sunday suit, Sunday shoes, and your Sunday dress. And most of the time, it was the same thing every Sunday. Whatever it was that you had, you could be sure of two things. Number one, it was clean, and secondly, it was decent. My grandmother would do all of her ironing and washing on Saturday. You didn't set up the iron and ironing board on Sunday morning. You did all of that on Saturday. You got ready for church on Saturday. I think that maybe we've been too blessed now and we have too much to choose from, and we've come to the conclusion that one outfit fits all. And as we get closer after the winter, when summer starts coming, you will find folk looking more like they are going swimming as opposed to coming to church. And I decree and declare today that there ought to be a difference in how you look, because you are coming to church with the idea of meeting Jesus. And because of that, the church ought to be a respected place. You didn't act any kind of way at church. You didn't say anything you wanted to say at church. Talking about how it used to be, because you expected Jesus to be somewhere in the midst. And you realize that he will not and would not show up in the middle of a mess. So at least on Sunday, you showed up expecting Jesus to meet you at the church house. And I wonder today, did anybody come here expecting Jesus to show up? Anybody come here today with a sense of expectancy? Do you really expect Jesus to show up? Then you've got to come with the right attitude, the right mindset, and the right spirit if you expect Jesus to be in the midst. Jesus says, and we misquote this scripture, we say, Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered, there I'll be in the midst. No, that's not all of the scripture. It says, wherever two or three are gathered together, come on, in my name, everything we do at the church is not in the name or for the sake of Jesus. He says, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, touching and agreeing on the same thing, then I'll come in the midst. You can have 400 folk in here, but if nobody's touching and agreeing, he's not going to be in the midst. And I've discovered that whenever the right person shows up, excitement ought to fill the air. That's what happens in our text as Jesus makes his final stop in and through the city of David. He has sent the disciples into a foreign city where he already has set up a blessing that cannot be stopped. He told them, go over in the city. He says, when you get there, you'll find an ass coat that's never been ridden that I've already commanded to be mine. Can I tell you today that the Lord has already set up some blessings for you that really don't make sense? Can I tell you that the Lord has set up a blessing that's in your future that will never make sense to you? And can I suggest to you that he's getting ready to give you some instructions to do something in order to receive your blessing? Because how many know in order to get something, you've got to do something? And a whole lot of us don't want to do anything, but we expect everything. Too many of us don't want to do anything, but we expect to be given everything. Jesus gives us three verbs. He says, ask, seek, and knock. All of those requires effort on your part. Once you do your part, how many know he'll do always do his part? All you need to do is do what you can do, and you will discover that it's just like he said. Jesus said to the disciples, what you find is not going to be for you, but it's going to be for me. It ain't for you. It's for me. And I need the coat so that I can ride into Jerusalem. I know you're going to find this blessing. I know it's going to blow your mind. But don't forget, it's not for you. It's for me. The next blessing that you get, please know that it's not about you, but it's all about him. God doesn't bless you to brag. He blesses you to give him glory. Wish I had a witness in here today. God doesn't bless you so you can brag about what you have, but God blesses you so that you can give him glory. Because how many know every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord? And that's why sometimes God won't bless you like he wants to, because he knows we're not humble enough to give credit where credit is due. How many of you can give God the credit for what he has done for you? You don't deserve it. You didn't earn it. You weren't good enough. All you know is God decided one day to drop a blessing on you. And when folk ask you how you got the job, how you got the house, how you got the car, good health, all you can say is God did it. I wish I had someone other than myself who knows that it was God that did it. Well, let me ask the question. Who did it? It was nobody but the Lord. Would you tell your neighbor, God did it? That was the wrong neighbor. Tell the other neighbor, God did it. Amen. And when you think about what he did, this whole place ought to be shouting, because he's done so much that I cannot tell it all. God has opened doors for me. God has made ways for me. God has literally blown my mind. In the text, Jesus says, you will know that you're at the right place because you will encounter people who can't figure out how you got it and don't want you to have it. Listen, when you go get your blessing, there are going to be some folk that don't want you to have it. It's here in the text. It's right here in the text. He says, when you get over there, there will be some people ask you what you're doing, and how you got what you got. Y'all missed it. When you start to encounter folk who question what you have and opposed to your having it, it's a sign that you've made it to the blessing. When you encounter folk who don't even know and they don't ask you, but they are trying to block you, that's evidence that you made it to your blessing. But I like what Jesus says, when they oppose you, not if, but when they oppose you. And how many know that when you do his will, opposition will come? How many know that when you're living for Jesus, you're going to face some opposition? How many know that when you're doing the will of God at the church, somebody is going to give you some hell? He says, when they oppose you, he's talking to the disciples. He says, don't fuss with them. Don't fight with them. Don't argue with them. He says, tell them the Lord has need of it and keep on going. And you know what? You know what? I've stopped explaining my blessings. I wish I had a witness in here today. Give me a little volume, Taj. I've stopped explaining my blessings. Listen, when the Lord blesses you, you don't owe nobody no explanation. You don't have to justify what the Lord does for you. You don't have to answer folks' questions as to how, when, and why. If the Lord blesses you, that's between you and the Lord. I'm so sick of folks, child, I don't know how he got that. And I just don't understand why. It ain't none of your business. And I don't have to justify what the Lord does for me to anybody. In other words, when you hate us, and I know I'm in the wrong house today, but anybody got some haters? When your haters try to block you, don't fuss with them, don't fight with them, don't argue with them, call his name and continue to do what he said you to do. How many can say, I'll let nothing separate me from the love of God? And least of all, some haters. Listen, when they try to get to you, listen, just tell them Jesus said that it's mine. I ain't got to explain it to you. Jesus said it's mine. Jesus tell them, go, and if anybody asks you, tell them, I got need of it. You got to explain it? Just tell them I got need of it. Just tell them the Lord sent me for it. If anybody asks you, just say the Lord said I can have it. The Lord said it was mine. I don't know why. He just decided to bless me. He just decided to bless me like he blessed me. It's mine. When Jesus gets the coat, as he rides into the city, the crowd is waiting to see him. And I wish I had a crowd here today that was waiting to see him. If I had a crowd here today that was waiting to see him, this crowd would act like that crowd here in the text. As he rode in, some things began to happen. When his presence gets there, some action begins to take place. We always like to talk about the presence of the Lord, how we feel his presence. I feel his presence. I say it too. I feel his presence in this place. We say that's real God. Makes us sound real deep, but the text suggests that the evidence that you feel and sense his presence results in some certain activities. Anybody can shout, anybody can run up and down the aisle and clap their hands, but the evidence of his presence is in the life that you live. You don't impress me by shouting on Sunday. You don't impress me running up and down the aisle. Listen, God is not concerned with how you jump when you shout, but how straight you walk when you come down. That does not impress me. It's not in how loud you shout. Not in how big your Bible is. How good you sing, how good you preach or teach. The evidence is in how you live. Those folk used to say it another way. They said, when you see me walking right, when you see me talking right, he's using my hands to do his blessed will. He's using my feet to climb the rugged hill. He's using me. If the Lord is present, it will show up in your attitude, in your actions. It will show up in how you treat your fellow man. Three quick things that I'm going to get out of here today. We may not get to all of them, but when Jesus showed up in the text, the first thing that happened was that the crowd got rid of some stuff. It's in the text. The crowd got rid of some stuff. The text says that when Jesus showed up, they took off their coats. Some things that they had been wearing and carrying, they got rid of. When you get in the Lord's presence, there are some things and some people you're willing to let go of. He will take some things off of you when you become a part of Him. He will take the weight of stress off of you. He will take negativity off of you. He'll take it all away. And there's somebody here today, you've been carrying some stuff around for too long. Unable to get rid of it, unable to take it off. Jesus says today, you are in His midst and you can take it off today. Take off that hatred. Take off that hurt. Take off abuse. Take off a broken heart. Take off abandonment. Jesus is passing by and He can help you take off some stuff. Some things that's been weighing you down, been holding you back. Anybody want to take off some stuff here today? Anybody want to let go of some stuff, let go of some people, some so-called friends, some so-called boyfriends and girlfriends, some so-called relationships? Jesus says, when you're really in My presence, you can let go of some stuff. And I think I ought to ask somebody here today, anybody ready to let go of some things? Oh, come on, anybody holding on to some stuff and you know you need to let it go? You've been holding on too long. Jesus says you can let it go today. I'm talking to somebody in here today, you ought to let it go. You've been carrying it too long. So the next time you see me, you'll know I've gotten rid of some stuff. You'll know because my attitude will change. My living will change. My worship will change. Look at the text. The text says after they got rid of some things, they start calling His name. That's worship. That's worship. I know we think worship is clapping our hands and the Hammond organ going off. That's praise. Worship is when you recognize Him for who He is. Listen. They don't start saying Hosanna for the car. They don't start saying Hosanna for the job, Hosanna for the money. All they say is Hosanna to the King of Kings. And listen, if we would just praise God for who He is and not for what He gives us, if we would just worship Him for being God and God all by Himself, it's not tied to getting stuff. You know you're a worshiper when you're calling His name because you, listen, you don't want anything. You're just calling His name because of who He is. Sometimes all you have is your worship. All you can say is, God, I bless you just because you are God. And let me do a check-in here today. Is there anybody here that can say, God, I'm not asking you for anything. I'm not begging you for anything. I just want to recognize you for being who you are. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you. Simply because of who you are. Listen. We say it all the time, but it's really true. If the Lord never does anything else for me. And I need to talk to the real folk in here who know the Lord has done a whole lot for you. If the Lord never does anything else for me, and some of y'all can look at your past, your past, and shout over what the Lord's already done for you. Do I have a witness in here today? Is there anybody can really look back at your past, your past, and thank God for what He's already done for you? And then there's some other folk in here today that are shouting because of your past. Because you're going through some things. You're passing through some things. And in the midst of your passing through, God has kept you in the midst of some things that you're passing through. Is there anybody right now in the midst of a storm going through some things? And you can thank God because He's kept you as you're passing through. They don't start shouting Hosanna until they have let go of some things. After they've lost some things. after they've gotten rid of some things, after they've given up some things, that's when they started shouting and praising his name. After they've given up some things, after they've lost some things, that's when they started praising him. Somebody today needs to praise him for the weights you took off when you got in his presence. Here's what I'm saying. Somebody needs to praise God because of some lost stuff. Y'all miss me. Somebody needs to praise God because of some lost stuff. I know that sounds crazy because we normally shout over the house and the car, but God told me to tell you that even when you've lost some stuff that you knew you didn't really need anyhow, you ought to shout over losing something. And as I take my seat today, is there anybody that can shout over what you lost? Let me be the first one. Listen. In 2019, I lost some stuff, but I'm still giving God praise. In 2019, I've been through some things, but I'm still giving God praise. In 2019, I've had to take care of a sick mama and a sick daddy, but I'm still giving God some praise. Is there anybody here that feel like me, that you lost your house, but I'm still shouting? Lost a whole lot of money, but I'm still shouting. Is there anybody that can shout over what you lost? See, the devil thought your shout was tied to what you have. So he thought that if he started taking stuff, you'd lose your shout. But how many know that the devil was wrong? Because I'm shouting today, not over what I have, but I'm shouting over what I lost. Because sometimes the blessing is not what you receive, but the blessing is in what you lose. And how many can shout over what you lost? He walked out on you. Praise the Lord. She left you. I feel better. They fired you. The Lord gave you a better job. Now, not as much money, but I got a peace of mind. Is there anybody can shout over what you lost? They didn't want to be your friend anyhow. Praise the Lord. Because I've discovered what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege it is to carry. I'm talking to some folk in here today that have had to carry some stuff to the Lord. What a privilege it is to carry. Not just one thing, but I need somebody to take everything to the Lord. Is there anybody here today can be a witness that I took my burdens to the Lord and left them there? Would you push your neighbor and say, neighbor, the pastor told me to tell you that trouble don't last always. So I'm going to go ahead and shout right now in the midst of my trouble. Thank God that I've got a friend above all other friends. I've got a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I've got a friend that in the midnight hour, I can call him. Doesn't matter what time it is. His line is never busy. Yeah, yeah. He's always, always there. And I thank God for some things that I lost. Because I've discovered that some things were a diversion. Some things kept my eyes off of Jesus. Some folk kept my eyes off of Jesus. So I'm shouting today over some lost stuff. Is there anybody here today can look back and realize that some stuff you thought you had to have, some people you thought you had to have, but when you look back now, you can say, thank you, God, for moving that stuff out of my life. Thank you, God, for moving that person out of my life. I wish I had some honest folk in here today who know you didn't need him or her anyway, and the Lord moved them out of your way. You can shout today over some lost stuff. If you're here today, maybe outside the ark of safety. Maybe you don't know this man Jesus that we're talking about. Maybe you lost your joy. You can find that today. Maybe you lost your peace. He said, I'll give you a different kind of peace. He says, I'll give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. He says, even when other folk think you ought to be torn up and falling apart, God has a way of giving you a peace that surpasses all understanding. There's somebody in here like me. Listen, you really should have lost your mind by now. You know what? I had to talk to myself the other day because I really thought I was losing my mind. Work. Mama want this. Daddy want that. I went last night to 3 different places trying to find some chicken soup she like. Running all over town. I said, God, I'm about to lose my mind. And I started talking to myself. I said, you know what the Lord promised? Never to leave me nor forsake me. And then I said, you know what the Lord promised to give me a peace. I don't understand what's going on right now. I don't understand, but he says, I'll give you a peace that you can't even understand. I said, God, I need your peace. And after a while, something came over me that gave me a peace that surpassed all understanding. Can I get a witness in here today? I'm not the only one going through some things. I'm not the only one that's got to talk to yourself sometime. Is there anybody not ashamed to admit today that, Pastor, you're really on my street? Because, listen, I ought to be going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. I really ought to be in Vernon or Terrell somewhere in the crazy house. But thank God kept my mind. Is there anybody can thank God you in your right mind today? I ain't got a whole lot of mind, but the mind I'm in is my right mind. Thank God for a peace that surpasses all understanding. And if you're here today and you need that peace, can't find it in a prescription, can't find it in a bottle, can't find it in drugs or sex or anything else. That peace can only be found in Jesus Christ. And if you need that peace today, you need somebody that will walk along beside you and never leave you. You can find that in Jesus Christ today. If you're here, would you come? Because of who you are, not because of what you give me, but because of who you are, Lord, I can lift you.